to an afternoon church.
But I thank God I'm able to come, and thank God for your pastor for inviting me. I believe you are all doing this series on the book of James, right? So let us turn to our text for today. It's just two verses from the book of James, chapter 1. And these two verses tells us what is true religion, what true religion is all about, right? If any man, in verse 26, among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So there's emptiness. If the claim falls to be empty, then there's no point at all, right? So some people will buy cheap drugs and then, well, be disappointed. You won't get cured, you know. And it's like that. Whatever we claim, and we trust these people to make that claim, and we believe them, and in the end, we are the loser. And so it is clear, true saving faith must show forth fruits, all right? And pure religion, look at verse 27, as James suggested here, and undefiled, right? That is not tainted. You know, things that are diluted, tainted, will always never give you that effect that you want, right? Before God and the Father is this. Now, why did James mention before God and the Father? Because people can see, we can hide behind a mask, we can be hypocritical about it, right? We can be just Sunday Christians, people don't see us as we are. Like parents, children, look at us when we are under the same roof. That's why under one roof is a very good marker, right? You know that person because you work with that person, you live with that person, and you see the everyday actions and reactions. And so you can't help it. But God sees everything more than that, right? We shall look into this, right? And James suggested is this, to visit the fatherless. This is the acts, outward acts of grace in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Okay? In context, we realize this in verses 19 to 25, the immediate context, James actually exhorted his fellow brethren concerning hearing, receiving the engrafted word, and in obedience to be a doer, not simply a hearer. Active hearing would stir us, not just to give us understanding, but to grant us the heart and also the hands to work out. Right? So they say always, right, put your hands to behind your words. Okay? So in short, to be a practicing Christian whose life and practice is based upon biblical truth and principles. So continuing in verse 26 to 27, that was what James now turned to what true religion means to us. And I have 3 points here. First of all, in verse 26, if you realize this, is to control the tongue. Right? Control of the tongue, verse 26. Now in chapter 3, verse 8, you're going to do subsequently, in James chapter 3, verse 8, all right, the tongue is an unruly evil. So that they say the tongue that's 6 inches long can kill a man 6 feet tall. Right? So mind our words. Secondly, is care for the needy. The second C. First is control the tongue, second is care for the needy. Right, those who have needs. And James suggested here to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, the orphans and the widows. The third one is the conscious of living a consecrated life, whereby we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So here, this afternoon, we look at the three C's. Control of the tongue. Why? Well, one commentator says this, that unless a man's outward conduct is in accordance with the requirements of Christ, his pretenses to inward piety are vain. Right? If even the tongue is uncontrolled, it reveals the falseness and hollowness of his profession of sanctity. And it's really true. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? There was this old pastor, he was driving along East Coast Road, actually. I know this pastor many, many years ago. Pastor Peter, he was driving along with a wife. And being an old man, of course, he went slowly along the side of the road. And suddenly there was this car that zoomed by, cut into his lane, cut in through, and went. And you know those old vehicle, like a Volkswagen like that, he had to wind down the window. He wound down the window to the shock of his wife, you know. He leaned out the door and said, "I see where you are." It's a terrible thing to say. Like raining a curse on somebody else. You want to die, die fast, you know. You know, go and die, you know. So, you know, the poor wife was so scared. The boksu, you know, "Hey, boksu, boksu, dang, dang," you know, he calmed down. And when he told us this, we really had a good laugh. You know, they were old folks, you know, and yet it is like that. So, it is true. Certainly the old pastor was right to rebuke the other driver for dangerous driving, right? But not in a wrathful and vehement way. The proof of the pie is in the eating, right? A horse, how no matter how strong, right, you can see, the test is only when it races, right? Then you'll know whether the muscles work or not, or it's just bulk, right, and no strength. And so this is the what? This is the Chinese way of saying it, right? So it is when we are tested, when we are put in a position where we can react, even in a correct way. How do we react? You see? So it is the conduct that is seen here. Okay? So when tested, even the pastor failed. And you and I will fail. I will fail. I fail many, many times. Right? Being a very impatient, very impulsive, and very reactive person, I have to keep in check. Right. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 to 32, and we'll look at what it says here. Right. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, right, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And very often, when we open our words, it's defensive words. It's words that hurt, not words that heal. Huh? And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, whatever we do, it's not of faith. That's not right before God and before man. It will grieve the Holy Spirit. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." By God's preserving grace, we are so thankful. But yet the way we live our daily lives, it's so sad. Verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Why do we harbor all these things? As mentioned here, okay, for time we don't have, we can't go into this detail, right? Because we harbor these things because we are not gracious. We will not accept what the person say. We will hide it in our hearts. We'll wait for the day where we can throw all this rubbish back at the guy that has offended you. You see that in the office. He throws a letter at me, make me answer. Next time, if I get it, I will throw it back at him. You know, and I won't, you know. This is not my job. You do it. You go and face the, you know, you go and face the public or you go and see the manager. I'm not going to take it. And we have these kind of things, you know. Personally, I worked many years before also the same thing. All because of one letter I refused to answer, you know, to the taxpayer. I was in the income tax department. We went all the way up to the head of department, you know, from unit to head of department. Because I said, "This unit," no, he said, "This unit." I said, "No, you know, you keep on minuting it back and forth." And today is even worse. How? We have email and we flood it. And many a time, things do not look good in the email. Particularly when you say it and when you put on paper. There are nuances that you cannot understand when you put it in words and when we face one another. And things become heated up, right? I don't have to tell you, the VPP issue is one of them. It's all over the net.
right?
Whether it's rightly or wrongly, is something that is very, very sad. Okay? So be very careful. Look at verse 31. And be ye, on a positive aspect, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. That's how it is. Gracious. Forgiving one another. Yes. Or else you make bitterness is like a gall. You know, it eats yourself up. Even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you. Yes. Remember James chapter 1, verse 19. What does it say? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I believe your pastor had covered that. Let this be a reminder. Watch our tongue. Let us be careful how we act, and more importantly, react in our daily experiences. By all means, watch our walk with the Lord, but also watch our talk with our fellow men, passing on half-truths, passing on truth. Okay, what you say may be true, but may be the wrong time to speak it. And that can create a very, very messy situation. Right? We have seen people walking out of the church because words that were spoken out of time. Somebody told somebody something and to be kept at an appointed date to be said. But this person slipped up. The third party got very angry and walked out of the church. You lost a family. It's sad, but it has happened before, right? I don't want to mention things like that, but it's true. Huh? So let us be very, very careful the way we speak. It hurts us because it marks our testimony. It hurts the person whom we spoke about, whether truth or not. And thirdly, it has a wave effect. What is a wave effect? In Chile, you have the what? Earthquake, right? Tsunami effect all the way up to where? Hawaii. You see? So remember, our words will carry forth. Right? So let's be very careful. So true religion is that we should watch our speech, control of our tongue. Now look at verse 27 now. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows. Okay? So here, we realize to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. James just singled out this because during his time, during the New Testament times, these were the people that were most neglected in the church. Right? These were the people by way of care, they are at a disadvantage. Right? Because why focus on the care of the fatherless and widows? These were tough times for them. They've lost a breadwinner. Right? The reason the head of home is taken away. No direction or decision maker for the family. And it's also true, right, especially when mostly if our present families, if the father runs the home, does everything. I know it because I personally encounter this situation. Right, the husband runs everything in the home, from driving the car, from paying all the bills, from the banking account to everything under financial control. But when he was taken away by the Lord, the wife totally did not know anything. Rummaging the cupboards just for accounts. How many accounts were kept? Where they were kept? Where did the money go? Where did they bank in? How to pay the bills? She didn't even know. How to drive the car? She had a license, but all this while her husband had been driving all around. And I, pastor, had to sit in the car with her and you go jerking, in, you know, and trying to drive along Pasir Ris Park at the time, you know, near the chalet there. All the lonely roads on a normal working day, in order to get her used to the car. That can be the situation, right? And so this is the case, right? No direction. Remember, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders of his time, for being hypocrites. And one of the things they practiced was to take undue advantage of these people. Right? Turn to Luke chapter 20. Just reading 46 and 47. Luke 20, 46, 47. For those taking notes. Remember, this was what the Lord said. Beware of the scribes who desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms. You see, these religious leaders lord over the people. They want pride of face, right? They dress with all their phylacteries and all that, you know. All the scripture verses that they walk around like grand lord. And they say, oh, such a holy man is coming. See? And you must look, stand attention. Like you NS man, you have to salute, right? When the officer goes by, or else you get charged. This is something like that. They will walk by, boom. A breath of what? Holy air, that kind of thing. Right? So they want pride or what? Pride of face. To be dressed that way and to be addressed that way. Oh, Rabbi, Rabbi. Oh, yes, yes. Thank you for addressing me. They don't even want to say a thank you nor acknowledge me. Have you seen people like that? Proud people. In the lane, you say good morning, they just... Right? So what's good about the morning? We have encountered neighbors like that. But gradually, if you wish... good morning, enough times, they one day have to respond to you. Okay, good morning. You know, maybe you bother them. But thereby, sometimes, they are lost in their thoughts. Never mind, it's okay. They want, these Pharisees, they want pride of face, pride of place. Why? They sought for the chief seats in the synagogues at the feast. Remember, wedding table, right? They sit at the red table. The two red tables were the bride and the groom and their relatives. How sad you'll be. Sorry, sir, please move. No, my uncle wants to sit here. How do you like that? Right? So let's take always the end table, never mind. Far away until they invite you in. And one day I experienced that. I was attending a wedding dinner when somebody asked me, hey, why are you sitting here, Pastor? You brought me all the way to the red table to sit. Sorry, I don't want that kind of thing. I'd rather be one corner. But what to do when they ask you that way and afterward you have to say grace, then you have to approach that table. Bo pian. You see, with a few people there and all the food for you to eat because they are running all over the places. I feel very awkward. I don't want this kind of place. But that was what the Pharisees sought. And then the next thing, which devour, look at verse 47 of Luke 20, which devours widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Yeah, they visited the widows. Why? To take advantage of them. Like the housing agent, come on, I sell your house. No, go to a lower one, downgrade. And then, you know, make a huge commission out of it. It's terrible, isn't it? Right? We don't. We help these people. Right? We must extend special care. Right? Bereavement must come to everyone. Every family, somehow, sometime. I've experienced it. I lost my dad, and then subsequently I lost my mom. It will come one day. No one can say I'll live forever. Of course, you and I, we can say we live forever, but we must leave this world one day. So those left behind need special comfort. Right? Often fellow brethren will visit and show concern. True, but with time, it just wears off. Right, time will heal the hurt. Yes, the initial surge of interest and then care. After that, not to bother. Right, but these people feel let down. Let me tell you, it's true. Because as a pastor, I have cases like that. After a little while, after the initial first month or something like that, then nobody comes. Right, there was this missionary who went overseas. He has a brother also overseas, but he has a sister that was here, that is here. Still staying here, I believe. And the sister has a family. So when the dad died, the mom was all alone. But being very independent, she didn't want to go and stay with the daughter and their family. So she stayed alone. But the son went overseas, missionary. Helen and I used to visit weekly appointment to just have dinner with her. And you know something? Those were times when the lady recounted many things, incidences of her own life, and especially talking about also the husband, late husband, where they live, how they started, you know, where they live in the kampong, what was life like then, you know, and changes here, changes there. So whatever we can understand, we talk to her, you know, and she was very responsive to us. So each occasion, we noticed the warmth, you know, and the appreciation of Christian love and fellowship. In fact, we often, both Helen and I, often feel very revived, feel very happy. You know why? Because by spending time with them, we learn a lot of things about old Singapore, about how people used to live, about what she likes, what they dislike, and you know. And we were able to share somehow because we all stayed in kampongs before, you know, not like us, the present day. And these things encourage our heart. And it encouraged our hearts as well. Huh? So we are thankful for that. Right? That's why it's more blessed to give than to receive. But by giving, we also receive. And happy. It is indeed wonderful. Today is not just the widows and orphans. But as you look in our midst, do you realize that in the quietness, even amongst our brethren, there are hearts that long to have someone to speak to. There are people around us that need a listening ear. I just went for evangelism and met Mr. Fong, an old engineer. The church finished, he was attending a Lutheran church in Bedok South, next to the Lions Home. The church finished at 12 o'clock, but at 2 p.m. when we were talking to him, he was seated there not going home because he was resting. But he had nothing to do. And when we engaged him, he really went on a long talk about how he went here and there and all that kind of thing. So we say, Mr. Fong, we have to leave you, so sorry. Maybe we pop into your house one day. We intend to pop over the house one day to talk. Because he stays just right upstairs, the housing estate. See, there are people who need to talk. There are people who want someone to listen to them, right? A little encouragement, a comfort. And even amongst us, I believe, those who are undergoing national service, they need some words of comfort, right? Those who are adapting to studies in the school, like from O-level to JC, you know, and to poly life, we always ask, inquire after them. So it's good, right? Housewives too, sometimes staying at home can be lonely, right? Get involved somehow, right? As students in FEBC, we used to go and visit the Amoy old folks home, now located just below the Toa Payoh flyover, right, in Thompson Road. We used to visit when it's later, and visited and talked to the people there. Very, very many of them are lonely. And one of them gave us an address and tell us to contact this person. Those days, they don't have handphone. So we visited a stall in Farrer Park Food Centre, a coffee shop. And this couple, old couple was running, and then we told him, oh, this person is seeking for you. We have not visited for some time. Are you all right? He's anxious for you, you know, because you are his only relative. And upon hearing that, this couple visited him. And he was very happy the next time I met up with him. Hey, thank you so much, you know. Right? And we used to talk to them, sing to them, and play gospel tape, and witness to them. And I still remember one who trusted the Lord. His name was Aman. And one day when we went there, his place was occupied by another person. But we know we'll meet him someday, up in heaven. And I hope one day I'll go up there, I'll find him. Or maybe he'll wait for me. You know, remember I used to sing with you? You know, that's wonderful, right? So we do not know who we minister to, right? Remember, who is my neighbor? This question was posed to Jesus Christ, right? And in return, our Lord told a parable of the what? Good Samaritan. Okay?
right?
The Good Samaritan. Seek out whom we minister today. Isn't it? The Good Samaritan what? Saw a person in need, attended to him. What happened to the priest? What happened to the Levite? They are holy people. They are people up there. They are people with all the money and ability to help. They are so scared. So what? My duties are more important. I will not defile myself. There is a person dying there, and you are not concerned about that soul. Meeting the needs of that soul. And today, I hope we can reach out to one soul today. Pray about it. Someone you may know, someone the Lord will lead you, right, to share with. It may not be a Christian. It may be a fellow colleague, a lonely soul, even a friendly neighbor whom you always take for granted. Hello, uncle. Hello, auntie. Maybe one day you can reach out to them in a more meaningful way, right? Maybe auntie, I heard your tap is leaking. See what it can do. But at best, please, if you don't know how to fix it, please call the plumber, okay? Right? So, be conscious, all right? May the Lord make us a channel of blessing to someone today. Right? Thirdly, the consciousness of living a consecrated life. And here in verse 24, we read here, and keep himself unspotted from the world. And this is very important. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. The world beckons us. The IR resort beckons everybody, right? Right now, full occupancy, you want to go in also cannot. You want to pay $100 also cannot. Right? And they say we are trying to cope so that there will not be too many people at one go to the resort. And what happens when the whole theme park is open? Sentosa, Marina South, April, right? We're going to have an influx of people from all walks of life. And the influx of people means a lot of things to come, right? The vices will come. And it will generate more and more because we are living in a wicked and perverse generation. It's a very terrible thing, right? But we are called to personal holiness. This is an aspect of the inner life which very few can see. Maybe our husbands. Husbands look at a wife. My wife didn't pray today. I was on holiday. I noticed she didn't pray. She went all about attending the children. I didn't pray today. How about pastors? What will my wife Helen say about me? Oh, pastors didn't pray today. Because we usually pray together. And sometimes we are so caught up, we don't pray. Then she will ask next morning, do you pray? I say, yeah, last night. Well, I didn't see you pray. Oh, you were asleep. I was praying. And sometimes it's very hard to keep up because the demands of the day, right, occupies our time. And it's the same thing with us. Right? It's no more in Singapore, it's no more 9 to 5 work. When I started work, it was 9 to 5, 5 day week. And then they switched to 6 day, 5.5 day, and then now they switch back to 5 day. But before it was 9 to 5, okay? 4:30, you go and tidy up, and then 5, you're all ready to sign out and go. Right? Nobody bothers about your signing up, but nowadays, with the punch card, you cannot. Right? 4:30, you go out, you get a problem. Right? But now, no more. Right? We will be involved. Right? We pay, you stay, the employer says. Remember, never forget the project deadline. You look after the company looks after you. We pay you, we buy your time, we buy your life. That's it. It's either pay, we pay, you stay. All right? You don't stay, we don't pay. That's it. Bye-bye. I can get another person. And it's so easy now. My deacon was saying, they employ a Malaysian, they pay about 1,002 to 1,005 with overtime, maybe 1,006. They get a China national in $750 Sing. Nearly half that price. With overtime, okay, 1,000. That guy goes home very happy. Happy to work to 2 a.m. and print for you. You know what? Sorry, go. I do a 2-3 months adjustment and change. But I save a lot of money. I cut down my costs. I save about $500-$600. So either stay or go. You see? And so it is with us. You and I, we know. We face a working world. Right? So we realize this. We're in the world, but we are not of the world. Do we keep up with the Joneses? Hey, the guy changed his car, you know. So cannot, I must keep up. Then my wife pressure me. But he changed to don't buy Toyota. No, buy something else. You know, and they, if they change, we must change. Right? We build our security on investing, financing, investing, bonds. What happened? All will be burnt up. Right? Who can predict the next economic downturn? Nobody. Right? Anyway, all will be burnt up. Right? In salvation, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. The new nature in us generates a spirit-controlled consciousness that we are different from our fellow men who are unbelievers. How can we remain pure and untarnished when we rub shoulders with worldly people, with their carnal values and their ungodly behavior? I know of a lady who runs, who's in top management. The director says, sign that check. She said, I refuse to sign that check because she says it's not good. Because the reason for that payment is not. So I wonder whether they took her off the counter signatory or appoint another person to do the work. She said, I refuse to sign the check. And they dare not sack her. When we come to that, will we say, aiyah, never mind, since the director and I'm just under her, you know, or under him, I sign. She refused to compromise. She told me, please pray for me. I'm not going to sign that check. And she, up to date, I don't think she signed that check. Will we do that if our line, if our whole living is on the job? We will not compromise. Else we defile ourselves. Right? So, attracted to them, we are attracted very much to their carefree life. Their Sunday, where are you going? Going to church. Wow, dressed so well, you're going to church. Oh, dress, oh, you're traveling, where? Okay, I'm going to Kamaman, 8.5 hours night journey. In a bus that is like an icebox. Your pastor will know about it. Right? And then come back home and tired and rest for 2-3 days. Because you have to, after effect of it all. Right? Night bus up to Kamaman. From night bus, Kamaman, all the way down to Calvary Jaya, that is in KL. And then after that, back home. 3 days. Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then Monday, you're back home. Is that holiday? We thank God we can minister. We thank God for the joy and privilege and the honor. Who is there to complain? Right? Oh, going for holiday. Ah, yes, yes, yes. Oh, where I go? Malaysia. Yes. Is that holiday? No, it's God's work. And we are happy about it. Right? No qualms. Not complain at all. But if people think about it, you're crazy. You go up here, there, and the other. I went to the Chinese Sing San, you know, Chong Yi Shen, you know, in KL. She put the pa kwan on me. After half an hour, can't even pull up. Because too much wind, he said. And then he had to wait some more. Before he pulled it out, and it was a blue-black. There were, I think, 9 or 12 on the back of me. And that was how it is, because the night journey up and then down. Is that fun? No, we are going on holiday. Okay? It's the Lord's work, and we are happy. Whatever it is, it takes us. Right? So we are conscious of this. Right? Our lives are renewed each day. We are. People of the world do not have that light. Their life holds neither purpose nor meaning. So our lives, we say we have no time. How then do we keep ourselves untarnished from the world? Right? When our lives are renewed each day, we must keep our communion with God. A godly life cannot be lived without God. A Christian life cannot be lived without Christ. And the Spirit of Christ that is in us, Romans 8. Well, we say we have no time. Morning, we rush to work. Evening, we return tired and weary. We eat. We have our family, we have children. We check their homework. We have to look at this. We have to look at that. We have to plan for tomorrow. And then on top of that, my company gives me a notebook, brand new one, free of charge. I just sign for it, take it. And then I have to complete this because 2 days later, the report has to go up. Is that true of us? I don't want to see a show of hands, but I'm sure quite a few hands will be put up. Because we take our home, our laptop home, and then that's it, right? So another day passed, and we need to earn a living. So please, Pastor, you can. You're a pastor, what? So this is your work. You can. Hey, we struggle all to pray, okay? I have to tell you this because it's true. Let's take heed to God's word. Remember the parable of the sower and the type of seed sown, one of which fell among thorns and briars. Why? The cares and the what? Concerns of the world choke the seed. In Mark chapter 4, verse 19, it says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choked the word, and it became unfruitful. Right? So we must understand. We must be faithful to these spiritual duties. Ignore it at our own peril. We go into a spiritual downturn. Okay? Without turning to the Lord daily to draw strength and seek wisdom and grace to help in time of need, how can we survive the onslaught of our sin-sick environment? Right? With people whose ideas and behaviors are contrary to our Christian faith. We know about that, right? Your pastor mentioned about Abu what? Sayyaf. Agree? What did these Muslim rebels fighting for an independent homeland? What did they do? One of their chief leaders or one of the leaders were killed, what did they do? They just walked into a village, surrounded it, killed whoever they want and burned the whole place. Who suffered? Children, innocent people, lives lost. Yeah. Who asked the government to come and kill our leader? We have every right to do anything to anybody. Is that not wickedness? Is that not the depth of the evil heart? That's a very terrible thing to do. How can we go around killing children? Life for life. One life and you can destroy a village and do carnage to it. It's a very terrible thing. And we don't have to say, right? Even in our Singapore society is degenerated. The condos and their function room. The parents go up there and then they go out, their sons and daughters will organize parties. And what happens at the parties, the parents do not know. And all kinds of things go happen. I read recently, 12 to 14 year old, they are the most susceptible group to come under influence of sex and drugs. Very, very terrible. Our society is really going down. Right? The aware saga you all know, homosexuality. Many other things are coming in. We do not know of. Unless we guard our children, we guard our homes, we set our examples before them, it's going to be very hard. Mommy, you don't read the Bible, why should I? Daddy, you don't go and attend prayer meeting, why should I? You don't care about Bible study, why send me to Sunday school? Reverend Toh, I heard many years ago, always complained. The parents know very early, come to church, okay, said, children, please go to Sunday school. They go to Newton Hawker Center, enjoy their breakfast and do everything they want. Why can't they go and attend the adult Bible class? Mommy, daddy, you know what's good for me? I must go to Sunday school. And what's good for you? Just to listen to a sermon and forget about it. How about studying the Bible? How about FABC night classes? Right? Little eyes are watching us. We will transfer our value system to them. And so, if we claim to be Christians, these things have to be in place. We have to watch the way we relate to people. We care for the way we react in everyday life. In particular, we can't take a stone, we can't hammer somebody, we can't throw anything, but we can throw words at people. And we can slander, and we can hurt people. And as I say, what? Words are like waves, right? The effect will go on and on. Secondly, care for the needy. They are hurting people, they are lonely people, they are needy people, they are people that need just our listening ears. No need to talk. Just be there. And they know that they are comforted. And the blessing is ours. And thirdly, conscious of living a consecrated life. It starts with our relationship with God. It begins right there in the closet. Do we pray? Do we persevere in prayer? Do we seek that which is honoring before God and before men? If our relationship is not right with God, our relationship will not be right with men. Our witness will suffer. Our words will hurt. And all the other things will come in life's way. Let us pray. Our Father, may Thou be our strength and our help. We realize, Lord, to confess ourselves as Christians is easy. But Lord, we pray that we may guard our Christian life and make our lives count from here to eternity. That when we face Thee, O Lord, we'll answer truly from our heart. We did the best that we could, according to the teachings of Holy Scriptures, according to the biblical principles that Thou hast laid down for us. And Lord, we thank Thee for Thy great salvation. May we return our lives in full consecration unto Thee, to be used for Thy glory, for the extension and witness of the gospel, and to our own blessing, and the blessings of our homes and families, the friends around us, our colleagues, wherever Thou would place us, use us, O Lord, we pray, giving Thee thanks in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Thank you. Like us to turn to our closing hymn.